On this fourth day of December 2011 in San Diego, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, General History, Chapter 28, Jnana Yoga, Text 6 and 7. We'll just chant 6 together. Atmaiva taridam vishvam.
Atmaiva taridam vishvam.
Srijate srijati prabhu.
Srijate srijati prabhu.
Trayate trati vishvatma.
Trayate trati vishvatma.
Vriyate hadati swaraha.
Vriyate hadati swaraha.
Translation. The super soul alone is the ultimate controller and creator of this world. And thus he alone is also the created. Similarly, the soul of all existence himself both maintains and is maintained, withdraws and is withdrawn. No other entity can be properly ascertained as separate from him, the Supreme Soul, who, nonetheless, is distinct from everything and everyone else. The appearance of the threefold material nature, which is perceived within him, has no actual basis. Rather, you should understand that this material nature, composed of the three modes, is simply the product of his illusory potency. Purport. The absolute truth, Lord Sri Krishna, expands his external potency and thus creates the material cosmos. As with the sun globe and its expanded rays, the Lord and his expanded potency are simultaneously one and different. Although to conditioned souls, material duality seems to be based on the modes of nature, the entire material manifestation is actually non-different from the Lord and is of one, ultimately, spiritual nature. The modes of nature create sense objects, demigods, human beings, animals, friends, enemies, and so forth. But in reality, everything is simply an expansion of the potency of the Supreme Lord. Foolishly, the conditioned soul tries to lord it over material nature. But the Lord himself, being non-different from that nature, is its only true proprietor. In several places, the Srimad Bhagavatam has given the example of the spider spinning its web by expanding thread from its own mouth. Similarly, through his own potency, the Lord manifests the material world, maintains it, and eventually withdraws it within himself. Although the Lord is the unique supreme personality of Godhead, above everyone and everything, he is simultaneously and inconceivably non-different from everything. Therefore, it is the Lord himself who is manifested when the Lord creates. It is the Lord himself who is maintained when the Lord maintains. And it is the Lord himself who is withdrawn at the time of annihilation. Although the Lord is non-different from both his spiritual abode and his material creation, still, the spiritual abode, Vaikuntha, is always superior to the material manifestation. Both matter and spirit are energies of the Lord. Yet the spiritual energy is molded into the eternal forms of bliss and knowledge, whereas the temporary forms of matter are symbols of ignorance and frustration for the conditioned souls who covet them. The Supreme Lord is himself the reservoir of all pleasure and is thus dear to his devotees. The presumption that the Lord cannot give us complete pleasure is due to our misidentifying him as a product of the material modes of nature. As a result, we pursue false happiness in the deadly embrace of Maya and thus deviate from our eternal loving relationship with Lord Krishna. Om jnana tamarandasya jnanandana shalakaya chukshu unmiditam mena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him and to all members of Sri Parampara. So this is one of these verses that reminds me of the Upanishads. The Upanishads, and in some places in the Gita you'll find, especially 13th chapter, these seemingly, how can I say, koanic verses, you know, the one hand clapping thing, the kind of thing that's meant to kind of expand your mind and try to get it out of the ordinary way of thinking. So we have in the Upanishads, Apanipado Javano Grihita. You know, Apanipado Javano, although he has no hands, he has no feet, still he grasps things and he walks. You know, well, how is that possible? He has no hands, but he still walks on feet, but he has no feet. What is that? Similarly, like this verse, these verses describe that the Super Soul, Krishna, is not different from what we of everything that we perceive. This whole manifested universe, right? In one sense, it is him. And Bhagavatam declares, in the fifth chapter, first canto, Narada Muni, Idam Ivishram Bhagavan. This universe is Bhagavan. Ivetaro. But it is as if it were different. We perceive it as different. Because we're conditioned when we're covered by the illusory potency of Krishna. Then we make all of these distinctions, dualities. The delusion of duality takes place. And we forget completely the Supreme Personality of God. We forget completely the real source of everything that we see here, including ourselves. And we deal with everything as if it's all separate and distinct. And therefore comes good and bad, heat and cold, pleasure and pain, all of these dualities. And we go on like that, birth after birth. But as has been made very clear, this is all like a dream. It's very nice. You described it, shadow, echo, or mirage. In other words, all of this duality, all of these distinctions that we're making on the basis of our material consciousness under the modes of nature, are not real. The distinctions, the good and bad, is all a shadow, echo, or mirage. It's not the real thing. It's just a shadow of it. It's just a reflection of the reality in the spiritual world. So it's described Atma, but the supreme soul. Well, that means the super soul or Krishna himself. So he's expanding the potencies without accepting. Srila Prabhupada explained, Jiva Goswami explained, without accepting the inconceivable potencies of the Absolute Truth, one can have no real understanding of the Absolute. So what does that mean? Well, it means that just as the sun is expanding all of this light and heat for millions and millions of years, and yet the sun is still up there, you know, doing its thing. It's not diminishing. Maybe the scientists think it's diminishing and go out, but basically, in our experience, it never diminishes. And yet, how many BTUs or whatever they measured by of heat are coming out of the sun at every moment, every day? And yet it remains complete. Om Purnamadak Purnamidam. Right? This universe is complete in itself. It has so many varieties of things that are there for our maintenance. And yet, Krishna, the Absolute, remains complete in and of himself. This is inconceivable by our ordinary mind, because when everything is bounded by measurement in this world, if you have $100 and you spend it, it gradually decreases and it's gone. You know? If you have a big jug of water, a big tank of water, and people come and they use it, take it for washing and drinking, eventually it's gone. You have to replenish it. There's nothing like that in this material world. So how is this important for our understanding and our daily life? Well, this is the idea is that we should see this world as part of Krishna's energy. Everything that we experience should remind us of Krishna. Now, this is contrary to our usual way of thinking, because the material mind, and we're struggling with that to reform the mind, is always wanting to forget Krishna, so that we can exploit this world. There's a motive there. When the desire is to exploit this world, then the Krishna, through his material energy, he makes us forget who the proprietor is, who the controller is, who the creator of it all is. Just like if you walk into a shop somewhere, you know, you can't just start taking things off the shelf and put it in your bag and walk out the door, right? Now a child who doesn't know, he's thinking, oh, this is all for me. And they put the candy down on the lower level, you know, especially to get the kids going. And then it'll grab, right? Ah, this is like a heavenly planet, you know, for the kid. But the mother says, no. You know, you can't have that, can't have that. We have to put it in the bag, then go in the checkout cart, and we have to pay the proprietor, right? So this is like a big candy store, a big, you know, Walmart. But we've forgotten who really owns it. And we think, oh, it's all for us. Just like children. We're going in, grabbing this, doing that, you know. But there's a reaction. There's a reaction. You try to walk out the door and the guard grabs you. Where are you going with that? What's in your bag? I remember that one happened. That's what happened to me. I wasn't shoplifting, but I thought I was. It was in Henry's. It used to be called Boney's. And I went in there looking for something. Couldn't find. I found it, but the lines were too long. I said, I'm not going to wait for a half an hour to buy this carrot juice, you know. So I put it back, and then I ducked under, and I went out, and they thought, oh, this guy, this is Hare Krishna. I was dressed like this. He must have taken something. I had a bag and everything. So he comes running out the store and grabs me. So I said, look in the bag. There's nothing in the bag. Well, I had something from Traders, but it obviously wasn't there. So, everyone here, we're just like shoplifters. We're just, you know, we're just stealing everything. But there's a price to pay, and that price is sinful reactions. So this is a basic principle of Krishna consciousness. Everything belongs to God. This is I remember we had an article many, many years ago. Prabhupada had given a lecture, and that was in the lecture. Everything belongs to God. You know, that alone is such a revolutionary concept. If you read the first mantra, not the invocation, but the first mantra of the Ishopanishad, Prabhupada said the root of all sin and the root of all the dissension in the society is because people are falsely claiming proprietorship over God's property. And can't you see that? You know? Oh, this is Israel. This is, you know, not Palestine anymore. Get the people out of here. This is ours. Right? America come, you know, the settlers come to America. Gradually they push out the Indians. Genocide, let's be honest about it. There were like 60 million Indians. They ended up with like a few million in the reservations. Yeah. It's our land, right? We're for America. Yeah. All these are artificial boundaries that we put on, all of these national boundaries. So that goes on time after time. It begins with your body and it extends to your family and your society and your clan and your tribe and your state and your nation, you know? And it puts one deeply under the modes of nature. I was just thinking as I was thinking of giving class today, what's going on out there today in these United States, as they say? There's millions and millions of people. All they're thinking about is the game today. They're trying to forget that they're behind in their mortgage, they could lose their house, you know, whatever, that they're sick, you know, whatever the real problems are. And they lose themselves in this illusion of this football, right? Violent game. So what's going on there? So someone moves to San Diego from Pittsburgh, you know, and after a while, okay, I'm root for San Diego. This is where I live now. Yeah. They're identifying with the place, right? And they're identifying with this violent game that's going on. It's just like the Romans with the gladiators, you know. And they get angry, and they get disappointed. They get elated if they win. But it's illusory. Then after the whole thing is gone, they have to go home and deal with their real problems. You know, they try to relive it. They try to bathe in the glow of it, you know. If they win the Super Bowl, oh, this is the greatest thing that ever happened. But ultimately, it doesn't change their life, right? They still have to face the disease they have, their kids on drugs, their wife is leaving them, you know, they're losing their house, you know, or whatever, you see? So this is just like that. Material energy draws you in. You forget everything, right? And you identify with this particular body for a certain amount of time. And there's so many relationships, illusory relationships, temporary, shadow relationships that are built up, first with the body, then with the relation to the body, right? The family, the dear children. You know, children are like a huge, huge attachment, you know? And you go on like that for some time, and then it's all over. You leave the body, you leave everything behind, the relationships are gone. Imagine how painful that is. I mean, poor kid, you know, kids in high school, every year there's so many suicides because he broke up with her or she broke up with him. You know, it's so powerful, this material attraction. And that's exactly what is a reflection. Is the reflection of the real attraction for Krishna that we're meant to have. So one thing I wanted to talk about in this class is how we should feel gratitude, you know, because all of this creation that's this manifestation that's taken place from the Supreme Soul through His own energy, from His own body, right? Brahma creates everything from his own body. Krishna says, I created these sages from my mind. Right? So there's all this creation for us. It's done out of compassion for us. Krishna doesn't have to do it. He doesn't have to do anything. what he really wants to do and what he does eternally in his original Swarup is play all day. You know, varieties of relationships of love. Everything custom made for each individual person, each individual rasa. Rasol by Saha. He himself is rasa personified. This is who he is. Loving relationship, the ecstasy of that. That's his Swarup. But, unfortunately, he expands himself, Eko Bahu Shyam, to enjoy these loving relationships with his part and parcels, intimate associates. But there's freedom. We have freedom, minute freedom, independence. We can choose not to love Krishna. We can choose to be independent and try to exploit Krishna's energy for ourselves. And so then we're covered by, you know, numerous coverings, all in compendium, the material energy, the illusory energy, so that we could forget Krishna and try to enjoy. But Krishna doesn't forget us. I pointed this out in Alatra because a lot of kids there, and it reminds me, you know, children, as you all know, you may remember, they demand attention. That's the big thing. This is why there's such a disturbance in class, because the mother is trying to pay attention to the class. She's not paying attention to the kid. Unless the kid has something to absorb his mind, and they'll pull on the mother and scream and do something to draw attention. They thrive on that attention. And that's the first aspect of any kind of affection or relationship, is you pay attention. Even the negative ones. Even the ghastly rasa. Full attention. Hiranyakashipu was thinking of nothing but Vishnu. How to kill him. Right? He's an arch enemy, absorbed. But the attention was there. Now, we don't want to be the enemies of Krishna. We want to be the friends of Krishna. But just think, we've forgotten Krishna. The last thing in the world we're doing is paying attention to Krishna. The whole idea is the Krishna conscious movement is to awaken the original, make people pay attention to Krishna, even unwittingly. Right? Go out there and chant the holy name in their ear, they're eating some abominable food stuff on Fifth Avenue, downtown. Hare Krishna. Okay. Oh, it's a Hare Krishna. So at least for a moment they pay attention. And back to their thing. But at least they had that moment. But just think on Krishna's side. He's paying attention to us birth after birth, completely, you know, aware of everything we're doing as the super soul. Isn't that a cause for gratitude? That he's made this world, right? He sent his representative, Srila Prabhupada, he comes himself to speak the Bhagavad Gita. It's all trouble for him. It's not dancing in the forest of Vrindavan. To come to this world, be vilified by Duryodhana and everything. You know? So he's doing, you know, in one sense, of course, it's not trouble, anything. But he's still, we should think of it that way. And I was thinking how gratitude is almost like a springboard for affection and love. Another thing that's going on in this whole month, everyone's thinking of Christmas, right? So at Christmas, it's a big thing for gifts. And of course, since the last 45 years or so, the devotees have realized, oh, this is, you know, people are more apt to take books, you know, and so there's a problem with marathon in the season, you know, because people are buying and spending money. But this whole idea of getting gifts for someone, giving a gift, what is that really? You know, you're expressing appreciation for someone, right? You're expressing love, affection, whatever it is, mother for the child, lover for the lover, all, you know, so many gifts are there. That's what it's supposed to be anyway. And it's a two-way street. On one side, you're expressing your love with the gift, and on the other side, the gratitude is awakened, and they're appreciating you, right? And parents know that, oh, they got to get gifts for the child. Because at every moment, the mother is not only giving love to the child, but hoping to evoke some love from the child. The child smiles at the mother like, you know, she's in Vaikuntha, right? Whereas the child is angry and runs away, then that's the end of the world. So, now think about it. What we've been given. How great we should be at every moment. When we come together in Mangalarti and sing that song, as we were describing, we get together in my place on Saturday night sometime, go over it. Samsara dava nanadita loka tranaya. That's the first idea. That very word tranaya is in here. Protect. Right? Triyate. In the first verse. Third line. So, what's that saying? The guru, who's a representative of Krishna, the spiritual master, who is, you know, there are many, and the spiritual master, our own personal spiritual masters, really. Sangsara dava nadalida loka. That's the first idea, to remember that we're suffering in this world. It's like a forest fire. We're helpless here, you know. The illusion is that we can enjoy here, but really it's like someone in a, you know, in a jail cell ready to be executed, enjoying his last meal, you know, and trying to forget that in a half hour he's going to be executed. That's how we should understand this world. And so it's like a forest fire. You're helpless. And a big forest fire comes around, what can you do? You know? The only solution on the material plane, of course, but this is a very good analogy, is a big cloud burst comes, boom, and puts it out. You know? So that's what we try it. The spiritual master is coming. People in general are suffering. And he's pouring down the rain, downpour of mercy, in the form of instructions, in the form of the holy name, the books, everything that we've been given. And is putting out that forest fire, extinguishing it. In other words, on two levels. One is giving us the means of really becoming liberated, not taking birth again. And also, diminishing the sufferings that we feel. This is explained by Kapila Dev. When one becomes absorbed in Krishna Katha, in hearing and chanting, the two foundational principles of bhakti, tapanti vivadatapan naitan mankata chetasa. He says, tapanti vivadatapan, all those tapas, all those miseries, don't impinge so much. Because the mind is on Krishna, mudgata chetasa. And Krishna diminishes. Especially on the internal life, the anxiety, the fear that comes with material life. If you've committed yourself to trying to enjoy this world, then you've taken shelter of the impermanent, of that which is always changing, of this body which is a very, very fragile vehicle for living life in this world. Right? And so you take shelter of that. You try to base your life on that, and you're inevitably frustrated sooner or later, and great fear arises because your whole enterprise is doomed. You know, but if you begin to take shelter of the spirit, pure spirit, in terms of Krishna, and you understand yourself to be pure spirit, then the body is going to do its own thing. Yeah, there's going to be trouble. But it's not the end of the world, because that's not me, you know. And your mind is on the transcendence, where there's no inebrieties, there's no trouble. And so the panti vivadatapan becomes less. And we can all experience that, the more Krishna conscious we are. So this is all a gift. It's a gift of Krishna through the spiritual master, through all of these things. And we should feel gratitude. And so, the super soul is not some official, impersonal force or something. He's a person. And as soon as we begin to hear the instructions of super soul, we're too covered to hear directly, but we can hear just the same thing through the words of Shastra, like Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, and the words of the Guru, words of sadhus, great saints, learned, realized. That's the words of the super soul. Then We are reviving that connection. And he's not passive, he helps. He gives more and more intelligence by which we can navigate out of this, forest, big forest, jungle. Think of it as a jungle with dangerous beasts, going to get you. Or I like this verse from Prabodhananda Saraswati in Chaitanya Chandramrita. He's describing an actual condition, Sangsara dukkha jalado patitasya kama krodadi nakramakarai kavali kratasya duvasana nagaditasya nirashayasya chaitanya chandamabadehi padavalambam. So sangsara dukkha jalado. So the ocean of the misery of samsara, I've fallen into it. I've fallen in from the spiritual world. Boom. And what's my situation? Patitasya can kama krodadi nakra makarai. So the nakra, like crocodiles, and the makarai in this context are sharks. And who are those sharks and crocodiles? Lust, anger, greed, illusion. They're devouring me. And I'm trying to swim away, but I can't, because I'm bound hand and foot by my wicked desires and evil activities and hypocrisy and everything. So what is the situation? Pretty dangerous, huh? You're in the ocean, they're coming to get you. So he says, Chaitanya Chandra Mabadehi Padavalam, oh, my dear Chaitanya Chandra, moon-like Lord Chaitanya, please give me, you know, bring me up on the boat of your lotus feet. That's what he's saying. The Avalamba means the shelter. You know. In other words, let me serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Let me take part in the Sankirtan movement. Let me become Krishna conscious and give Krishna consciousness to others. That's what it means to take shelter of Lord Chaitanya. And then we don't, and then the crocodiles and the Timangila fish, you know, we'll just see them as sporting in that ocean of nectar. You know, they won't be trying to devour us anymore, you know. So this idea of gratitude, and since we're in the Uddhava Gita, Uddhava speaks a very nice verse on this regard, and then we'll end it, or we can have some questions, and maybe we'll go through the purport. So he says, my dear Lord, naivopayancha pachatim kavayastavesha brahmayushabhikrita mridnamudak smaranta yonta bahis tanubhatam svagatim vyanakti achaya chaitivapashas svagatim vyanakti. It says, my dear Lord, I forget, we went through that verse, we had it already. Even the great sages, the great learned devotees, even if they had a lifetime of Brahma, you know, how long is Brahma's time? You remember? Pretty long. Anyone remember? 311 trillion, 40 billion, right. That's a long lifetime. Even if they had a lifetime of Brahma, they could not fully express their gratitude to you. Why? Because you appear within and without. For those who are tanubhatam, every word is so fraught with meaning, you know. Tanubhatam means those who are bearing the burden of a body. We're all bearing this burden. We don't need these material bodies. We're spirit soul. But we're bearing the burden of the body so we can have a little sense gratification. You know? So we're fortunate it's a human body now. But here's tanubhatam, swagatim vyanakti. In order to show them the path back to you, swagatim vyanakti, you appear externally and internally. How? Acharya chaitya vapashas. Swagatim vyanakti. To show that path to you. As the acharya, as the person who is perfectly behaved. That's what acharya literally means. But it has a threefold meaning. Knows the shastra thoroughly. Lives the shastra. Life is not contradictory. He actually follows the principles, knows, and teaches. And spreads those three principles. That's acharya. So that's the representative of Krishna externally. And he's also within the heart as a super soul. So in those both of those forms, he's giving good instructions, showing, trying to bring us out of what? Compassion. Therefore we should be grateful. We as, you know, bhaktins. You know. we should that should be a central principle. That's why it's the first on the list when we sing Samsara Dhavana Liloka. To feel thankful, you know. And how does that gift manifest? It's there every morning. Sankirtan, Mahaprabhu Kirtana Nitya Gita, you know. And the deities. So we can have a focus for our attention because the mind is so crazy. We can't just chant. It'd be good if we could, but these temples are important. And with the Sankirtan and with the temple and the deities and all of that comes the prasad, you know. Another extremely important function, you know, process for keeping us enlivened in devotional service. And then to understand the internal aspect, you know, the acharya, he's in the high levels of Radha Krishna worship, you know. And so we should have respect the guru as we would expect respect God. Respect the guru. Sakshad Dadhitvena. He has the nature of Hari. Not Hari exactly, but he has the nature. He has the position. That's what Hari Twa. Not Hari, but Hari Twa. Hari Twa. All the scriptures say it. All the great sages say it. And then, you know, the conclusion. Only by the mercy of the spiritual master, the pure devotee, can we get the mercy of Krishna. He's given him his power of attorney. And by without that mercy, there's no means of advancement. Extremely important concept. We can't do it on our own. We can't think it's just me and Krishna. That's total illusion. Krishna doesn't like that. Krishna won't allow you to approach him that way. You have to approach through the proper channels, through the parampara, through the pure devotee. And so we should remember the guru, you know, three times a day, every moment actually, if we can. Okay, it's 8:30, Any discussion on these points? Bhishma Das.
Thank you. Just on the three times a day, is that referring to like brahmanas, like, or is it just?
I always thought that. Did you ever have any understanding?
Well, I mean, we could say it's a clue, but that's a speculation.
Yeah, I never heard that. It seems to be refer to that, but I think it's more like at least. At least in the morning, at noon, and the afternoon. If you do it morning, noon, and afternoon, then why not fill it in every moment? But basically it means always, you know, remember your relationship to the spiritual master, you know, servant. All right, I'm just going to read this translation once again, if you have any, maybe pique some questions. The Supersoul alone is the ultimate controller and creator of the world, and thus he alone is also the created. Similarly, the soul of all existence himself both maintains and is maintained, withdraws and is withdrawn. No other entity can be properly ascertained as separate from him, the Supreme Soul, who nonetheless is distinct from everything and everyone else. The appearance of the threefold material nature, which is perceived within him, has no actual basis. Rather, you should understand, you, Uddhava, should understand, and we should understand, that this material nature, composed of the three modes, is simply the product of his illusory energy, illusory potency. So one other point here, and that is, again, just to reiterate, that Krishna says in a different verse that when something is created as an effect of something else, and everything we experience is an effect, right, of multiple causes, coming all the way back to the supreme cause of all causes, Sarva Karana Karana, that we should understand that that effect is ultimately nothing but the cause. If you figure out all the causes, then the effect cannot have it doesn't have a different identity. You see? That's, Krishna says that. And that's more or less what he's saying here, that this world is Krishna in a very important sense, because this is energies, and its energies are non-different from him. And so bhakti means to always, every 24 hours a day, connect the external energy to the supreme, the energetic. And in this way, to come to the realization that everything is ultimately spiritual because it's connected to the Supreme Spirit. Just as there's no meaning of darkness for the sun, there's no meaning of matter for Krishna. It's his energy. It's all spiritual. Vishnu Shakti Paraprokta. You know. But for us, because we've embraced avidya or illusion, therefore there's a material and a spiritual. And we have to make that distinction in order to get to the point of seeing, of acting spiritually all the time. And spiritualizing our own body through that action. It's a science. It's a razor's edge. It's difficult. You know, sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes it's not so easy to concentrate when you're chanting japa. Do you find your mind wandering sometimes? And who doesn't? So, I don't know. Sometimes I think of this puzzle. There's a puzzle that I used to have as a kid. And you had to try to think it this way and that way to have all the little BBs or whatever it is fall into the right holes. So you got one BB in the hole and you move it to try to get the other one. This first one falls out and you get the second one. You know what I mean? So it's a very kind of delicate balance. And you find yourself, you know, you have to pay complete attention in order to try to do it. And eventually, if you're lucky, you can get it. So that sometimes I'm reminded of that, is that the mind is such, it's like quicksilver, you know, like mercury. You know? If you're not completely in control of it, you know, it's going to go off here and there, and you think you're concentrating for a second. And one of the things is that you may not even know what concentration is. You know, you think you're chanting your rounds, and that's, you've been doing it like this for 10, 20 years, or even 5 years. But really, we haven't really become absorbed in the holy name. So it's always good to try to, take stock and really improve the focus, because that's ultimately what we're trying to do is to have the mind focused on Krishna 24 hours a day. And all of these instructions to see our environment as part of Krishna, you know, the universal form, or it's his energy, the super souls within and without everything. And then to act in such a way that we're always attempting to connect everything to Krishna. You know, every sound, every word, every step, every breath has a purpose. It's the service of Krishna, I'm remembering, you know. Because that constant remembrance is the thing that really takes us back to Godhead. And even in this world produces ultimate bliss and relation to Krishna. Okay, if there's no more discussion, questions? Yes, Bhakta Alec.
So in this verse, Krishna is talking about himself. Right? So why does he speak in the third verse?
He does that a lot.
Yeah.
And he's talking about the Supreme Soul. You know, even in the Gita, you'll find that. Right? Surrender to him. He tells Arjuna. So this is, you know, this is just a way. Krishna's sometimes taking the role as Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo. I am the one, you know, his creation. And sometimes he's in the role of the instructor, of the guru, the supreme guru, you know. So this one indifference is, you know, is being emphasized by that. You know, he's one with the super soul, but he's an expansion. He has a different function, so there's some there's distinction there. But we should never forget the connection. You know? That's the trick. Yes, we're eternally different from Krishna, but don't forget the oneness. Don't forget the oneness. If you really want to serve yourself, serve Krishna. That's why he's called the Supreme Self. That's our self, also. You can't really serve yourself. You don't even know who you are until you become Krishna conscious. We have no independent identity. It's all just an illusion. It's a mirage. Don't we want the reality? That we should, you know, atato brahma jigyasa. We're not searching, you know, the idea is now then search after illusion. No, now then search after the absolute truth, that which is really real, vastava vastu. Second verse, Bhagavatam, the thing that's really, really real. Not just a shadow of the real. We're not satisfied with that. We have to reject all the disillusionary stuff. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.